This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
This is the Jesse Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show. Another hour of the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday. We're going to talk about young Americans going to the right. What's going on with that? Democrats have a nightmare on their hands. We are going to dig into this gain of function research, though, at some point in time. As soon as I get done talking about young people going to the right, we're going to do this gain of function stuff. Emails, Elon Musk thinks we need to become multi-planet people, all that and so much more on the world famous Jesse Kelly Show this hour. But this is from the Populist Times. It says young Americans are going red and they're refusing to look back. Data from Yale polling found that young people are swaying significantly to the right, with voters aged 18 to 21 leaning Republican by 11.7 points. Let's stop for a second, and let's acknowledge when something is new and improved. For all of my life, it has been just the accepted thing in politics that young people, but the majority of them, not all, that young people are on the left. They vote left. It's been so traditional, so accepted, that the right has actually accepted Winston Churchill's worst quote. His worst quote by a mile. I despise it. Well, if you're under 30 and not a liberal, you have no heart. If you're over 30 and not a conservative, you have no brain. It's very witty. I understand why we like it, but I've always hated it because it almost sounds like we're just supposed to accept that young people are dumb. They're not dumb. They know what they're taught. They're taught in school to be leftists. If they wake up and grow up, they'll move to the right. Anyway, we're not going to focus on the quote. But young people don't have to be on the left. That's a lie. It's a complete lie. They know what they're taught, like I just said. So what is happening now? Because what's happening now is different, as I said, than anything I've ever known. And it's not only men. Yeah, men, it's bad. Not bad, it's good. Men, it's a lot. Men are going hardcore, hardcore to the right. But young women, some of them are coming along too. Well, let me tell you what's happening. And it can be good. Look, on the aggregate, it's a lot better. But it also, it can be dangerous if we don't manage it properly. Or if we don't manage, is probably not the right word, guide it properly. Here's what's happened. It's not that young people are coming around to a more right-wing philosophy. It's not necessarily that. What's happening is they are rejecting communism. They are rejecting the modern Democrat Party. And they are reacting to the modern Democrat Party by simply saying, no, no more of that. No, that's gross. No, that's miserable. No, that's insane. Let me expand on that just a little bit. If you are trying to do the best you can to take off your partisanship, I know it's hard for me. I'm a very partisan person, but try to set that aside and look at the political parties today. If you are a young person, a young man or a young woman, look at how miserable the communists are at all times. They're always protesting. They're always screaming. Everything has to be gay. Everything has to be feminist. Everything has to, every single thing is weird and gross and angry and bitter and miserable. And young people today remember, they remember who really led the charge on destroying their lives when it came to COVID. Democrats loved COVID restrictions, loved them, pushed them everywhere. So what you're seeing is not necessarily young people embracing being on the right or conservative or libertarian or anti-communist. They are rejecting everything that has to do with the Democrat Party. Now, all that's good, right? I'm not complaining about that. All that is good. But I think about this when I hear my sons and I hear them talk, and I hear them speak with their friends. Now, you can imagine the hatred their friends have for Democrats. The things that come out of their mouths. And these are not Republican boys, right-wing boys. I guess they are considered right-wingers, but they're not sitting there lovingly espousing, you know, free markets or the Constitution or things like that. They're not talking about those things. They are mocking, insulting, and trashing everything that has to do with leftism. They are disgusted by it, they're mortified by it, and they're speaking out against it. This is wonderful. My only point in having this talk is we have to help them understand what they're for, not just what they're against. It's good to be against communism. It's good to reject all this degeneracy and filth. It's good. I'm not complaining. None of this is a complaint. This is a caution. This is a word of caution. I talked to my son, James. He's my oldest. He's my political kid. Both of them are a little into it, but James is way into it. When I walk in the door, he wants to know, what's the news of the day? What's the controversy? That's my political kid. He knows what he hates. He's starting to understand what he loves because I have been starting to press him on the why. Dad, I don't like this. Why? Dad, I really like this guy. Why? Dad, I heard Trump is doing this. I love it. Good. Why? 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 I want to encourage you to do that with your son, your daughter, as they work their way through this. Help them understand the why. We want people to move to the right, not just as a reaction to the evil of the left. That's my point in all this. It's fine if that they react and come our way, but we want them to understand why freedom is important, why it's important that man is free, that man is not forced into things by the government or otherwise. It's important, and they need to understand the why. Right now, they don't. Right now, it's a complete rejection of the evils of the left. And that'll last us for a while, but it is not enough. Understand the why. All right. Now let's talk about this. This is an ugly... You know what? Before we get to the gain-of-function thing, let's make fun of Democrats really fast. Then we'll come to the gain-of-function thing. David Hogg, the DNC vice chair... He's not backing away. You see, the communists elevated him to this important position of power, and then he threatened to primary them, and then they threatened him with his job, but he didn't back off after he was threatened with his job. I only brought this up because I want you to enjoy the pain of the left right now, as they have created these Frankenstein monsters, these young communists, they're all across the party. Some of them are elected.
And get the IRS to help them as they go and seek these people. You know why? Because they've been working and they've been doing the jobs that now they want to roll back child labor protections and make sure that poor children are the ones that are doing those jobs, because now we're going to have those vacancies. If we're going to have jobs left at all as we continue to endure the grind of this failed experiment around this tariff war.
Oh, we'd be lucky enough to have a GOP base enough to repeal child labor laws. But setting that aside, they're electing them. They're appointing them to positions of power. But they're not getting into these positions of power and moderating the way the elites want them to elite or want them to moderate. They're getting into these important positions of power, and they're acting like what they are, little revolutionary savages. And I think it's fantastic. I think it's the funniest thing in the world, watching the nutballs these people have nurtured, watching them be destroyed by it. I love it. Jesse, you always talk about this. He said, or she said, what's the definition of communism? But I never understood the definition or hear you talk about that, possibly because I can't listen all the time. I looked it up, but I was hoping you could explain it since you're so good at explaining things. Communism. Overall, it's just a way for evil people to get more power, right? That's really what everything is in the end. Evil people with the willingness to do so are going to do horrible things to get power. But more specifically, communism is a little different, a little unique, and that is, it is a religion of the malcontent. If you are an angry, miserable, malcontented person at whatever, maybe it's men, the climate, women, black people, white people, whatever. If you are angry, bitter, not just angry, bitter, then you will find a home in the Democrat Party. You will find a home in communism. And they will tell you, they will promise you, in fact, that they will hurt the people you're angry at if you just give them power. It's an exchange. You give them power, and in exchange, they will use that power to hurt the people you hate. That's communism. By the way, have you sent in your pictures and videos to Legacy Box yet? Legacy Box, the wonderful, wonderful family company where you send those hard pictures, the VHS tapes, the camcorder tapes, you send them a box. They'll send, Legacy Box will send you the box, let me be clear. And then you send that box of tapes or pictures to Legacy Box. You're not sending it to China. This is an American company. You're sending it to Tennessee. And they take time and digitize all that stuff for you by hand, not some big machine. Then they send you your originals back, and you get your home movies forever. You want to look at that vacation you guys had on the beach? You can go look at it right on your phone. That's what Legacy Box will do for you. You want a big fat sale right now? LegacyBox.com/Jesse. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. Mother's Day is coming. LegacyBox.com/Jesse. We'll be back.
Jesse Kelly returns next.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a Tuesday, a wonderful Tuesday. Don't forget, you can email us, jesse@jessekellyshow.com. The libs are out in New Jersey, and they're upset about the deportations. Remember, they're not really upset. All this is just paid for. You know all this is paid for and organized, right? Don't think, we've never gotten this. For years and years and years, we've looked at these people and we've thought, are they just crazy? Kind of. Some of them are crazy. Many of them are crazy and bored. Some of them are crazy, bored, and broke. And in the United States of America, you can make a living being a full-time communist street animal. You can. They'll pay you to go out there. They'll pay you to make the signs. They'll pay you to sing the stupid songs and do the stupid chants. But what floors me, what kills me, is none of these people seem to care that they look and sound so stupid. Remember, hey, Chris, dig this up if you can find it. Remember Francis Collins, the name Francis Collins, you know the name. He was the head of NIH, National Institute of Health, during COVID. He was that evil, freaking, blood-sucking monster. Fauci got all the hate and deserves every ounce of the hate. Francis Collins deserves as much or more than Fauci does. Remember when Francis Collins shows up at the commie protest in D.C. and sang? Do you remember this?
We're joined together by this noble dream. Have you got that? So it's just all the good people, but the second line, part of this family, and the last line, we're joined together by this noble dream. Do that with me. This is a song for all the good people. Come on. All the good people who are part
of this. Sorry, Chris, turn it off. Turn it off. I can't. Francis. Did you practice that in front of the mirror? Or anybody? I mean, did you run that by anybody? Anybody at all? Look, we tell our kids when they have a presentation in school, I have to give up and give a science presentation or whatever. We tell them, why don't you do it in front of us first? Just one or two times, work out the kinks. We'll just iron out the wrinkles of the whole thing, and it'll work out so much better for you. But these people, they just don't care. They are communist cult herd animals, and they just don't care at all. Dear Jesse, the jerk doctor. That's not what I am, the jerk doctor. I have an old college buddy who's now chief of staff for a Republican congressman. Whenever we hang out, his phone rings constantly. But the conversations are almost never about big national issues. The calls are usually from local donors about their pet projects. Compound that across 435 representatives, and that's how we get 1,000-page budget bills and $2 trillion deficits. I have witnessed this. Excuse me. I have witnessed this in Washington, D.C., and I have witnessed this from congressman after congressman after congressman. These people and their staff and their staffers around them, I rarely see patriotic conversations. What's best for the country? Hey, we should do this. It's better for the country. I always hear, well, what can we get in this bill? What can we get this passed? How's your reelection campaign coming? Have you checked the polls? What are your poll numbers looking like? Are you raising money? Are you this? Are you that? I'm not sure there's a solution for that. Any solution I come up with or you come up with, it has a bunch of holes in it. Your solution, I shouldn't put words in your mouth. Your solution is probably something like term limits. That's why we need term limits. But you just heard the guy. It's the chiefs of staff. They're just as bad as everybody else. Maybe term limits is a solution. Me? I have the solution everyone gets mad about. So I'll just say it again so we're getting more hate mail. I think that they should get huge pay raises. I mean it. Every member of Congress and a bigger staff budget as well. No, it's not because I want to pay them more to be scumbags. I think paying these guys $165,000 a year, it's a lot of money. It's more money than most people make. I fully acknowledge that. But in Washington, D.C., that's poverty wages. You can't make $165,000 a year and own a home in D.C. If it's your second home, you can't do that. It'd be like trying it in New York City. It's not even that much money. It's just not. What, Chris? Chris said, how much should they make? I don't know. Call it $1 million. $1 million a year. See, everyone's gonna get mad. Chris is mad. Chris is losing his mind right now. I think maybe you probably want to combine the two things. $1 million a year, one term, two terms. I think you would get elite people. I think you would get smarter people with sharper ideas. Cap them, one or two terms. You don't get to make a living here forever. Show up, do one or two things. What is that? That's basically one bill. You're showing up. You're not carving out your next reelection campaign or whatever. Show up, make some unbelievable money. You invest it, right? You won't have to work again. Show up, make some great money, be gone with you. I don't know. There's probably not a solution. The truth is these people only care about getting reelected, and they hand out our own money to us to get reelected. That's where we're at. But the truth is also that Relief Factor will take the pain out of your life. That's also the truth. That inflammation that is plaguing you. That's why you wake up and start rubbing your knee. That's why you do the thing with your back when you sit down or when you get up. Your body has inflammation and your body needs help fighting it. Relief Factor is 100% drug-free. It was developed by doctors, but it's a supplement. It's a unique formula of natural things that help your body fight that inflammation. Not masking the pain, not ignoring it, removing it. What hurts on you? What if that pain could disappear? How much would it change your life? Your daily life at work, at home, fun? How much would it change if you didn't have that pain? 3 weeks is all they ask. Try it for 3 weeks. Call 1-800 the number 4 relief, or go to relieffactor.com. It's time to have a heavy talk about gain of function research next.
The Jesse Kelly Show. On air and online at jessekellyshow.com.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show on a wonderful, wonderful Tuesday. Let's talk about something because it's kind of in the news here, you see. Gain of function research. And the reason gain-of-function research is in the news is Donald Trump just signed this executive order. This is the announcement. He's in the Oval Office. He's doing the... Here it was.
The first relates to gain-of-function research. Gain-of-function research is a type of biomedical research where pathogens are adulterated, viruses are adulterated to make them more potent or to change the way that they function. Many people believe that gain-of-function research was one of the key causes of the COVID pandemic that struck us in the last decade. What this executive order does, first of all, it provides powerful new tools to enforce the ban on federal funding for gain-of-function research abroad. It also strengthens other oversight mechanisms related.
I know this is boring. Stay with me for a second because Trump is going to say something, and I want you to hear not only what he says, but how he says it.
To that issue and creates an overarching strategy to ensure that biomedical research in general is being conducted safely and in a way that ultimately protects human health more.
It's a big deal. Could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had.
Right? A lot of people say that, sir.
If we had this done earlier. Thank you.
It could have been that we wouldn't have had the problem we had if we had this done earlier. RFK Jr. went on Fox, talked about it.
And after the anthrax attacks, Anthony Fauci began, essentially restarted the arms race. And the bioweapons arms race, and did it under the pretension of developing vaccines, because of the same science that you develop bioweapons and vaccines. In 2014, three of his bugs escaped, and 300 scientists wrote letters to President Obama asking him to shut down Anthony Fauci. President Obama declared a moratorium, but instead of shutting down his experiments, he moved them offshore, mainly to the Wuhan lab. And now, you know, the principal institutions of our government, the CIA, the FBI, the State Department, Department of Energy, all say that it is most likely that those experiments resulted in the COVID-19 pandemic beginning in 2019.
Let's talk about biological weapons, shall we? Bit of an ugly topic. And it's a topic that is more for the movies, isn't it? For an apocalyptic book you happen to be reading. We don't know that much about them. And we don't know all that much about how they've been used, because they've been used in weird ways and ineffective ways. You may have heard this story before, the Black Plague, you know, that thing that pretty much wiped out half of Europe. How did it spread so much? Well, we'll never know exactly. One very commonly held belief is the Mongols were laying siege to a European city. The Mongols themselves came down with the plague. Well, Mongols being the enterprising souls they are, I don't know that there's ever been a people as adept at taking lives than the Mongols. The Mongols started loading up the bodies that had the plague on them, throwing them on a catapult and chucking them into the city. Soon, the city has the plague. The plague spreads throughout Europe. The plague. So that's biological weapon. The Japanese did this. I shouldn't just single out the Japanese. I feel like they always get picked on because of my obsession with World War II and the Pacific. But have you ever heard of Unit 731? I wouldn't recommend doing any light reading on it right before bed. But Unit 731 was a Japanese unit. They set up shop in a very remote area in China. And the purpose of Unit 731 was experimentation. A lot of different kinds of experimentation, I should point out. Some of the experimentation was just kind of run-of-the-mill horror things where they would freeze your arm into a solid block of ice and then hit it with a baseball bat to see how hard it was to break. Yeah, stuff like that. But some of it involved diseases, biological warfare, dropping a disease, we'll call it a virus, dropping a virus of some kind, getting it into a population through the air, the water supply, something, and finding out how you kill a lot of people with that. But that, of course, leads us to this. How do you make sure it stays there? How do you make sure that biological weapon you just dropped in wherever you dropped it, Where's a place we hate? Canada. Let's say, now, seriously, but let's use Canada for an example. What if we went to war with Canada and we came up with a biological weapon, a nasty little virus? What if we dropped it on Calgary? How do we ensure it doesn't come back here? Well, biological weapons are the reason gain-of-function research exists at all. And this is, in all my time, I was actually talking to Jeffrey Tucker today. Really, really sharp guy. He's the head of the Brownstone Institute. He kind of echoed this sentiment that in all my time of dealing with all these government secrets and government programs and things like that, maybe the most secretive issue that I can't ever seem to get solid information on is, what are we doing in regards to biological weapons? Did you hear? I'm going to play what RFK said again here. Listen to what he talked about. Back in 2014, Fauci gets busted with this stuff. And after getting busted, he doesn't get arrested, of course, because he's in the government. Instead, he takes this whole program and sends it to China.
And after the anthrax attacks, Anthony Fauci began, essentially restarted the arms race and the bioweapons arms race, and did it under the pretension of developing vaccines, because of the same science that you develop bioweapons and vaccines. In 2014, three of his bugs escaped, and 300 scientists wrote letters to President Obama asking him to shut down Anthony Fauci. President Obama declared a moratorium, but instead of shutting down his experiments, he moved them offshore, mainly to the Wuhan lab. And now, you know, the principal institutions of our government, the CIA, the FBI, the State Department, Department of Energy, all say that it is.
How many biological weapons do you believe we are in possession of? Are we developing biological weapons under the supervision of the Chinese? If we are developing biological weapons, and is there another way to view gain-of-function research? That's the whole idea. You take a virus, you make it worse because the enemy might make it worse, and you're trying to figure out how to treat that worse virus. Are we doing that inside of communist China? Communist China, who we are currently involved in a trade war with? And is that the reason we weren't allowed to have the honest information about COVID? Because we, in conjunction with the Chinese, developed a virus, and that virus came back home, got out of the lab and came back home? Look, we're not going to find the answer to these questions, because the answers are all hidden from us, which is what drives me crazy about this entire topic. It's a very secretive thing no government on earth wants to talk about. But we here in the United States of America have biological weapons. China does. Israel does. There are European countries that do. We develop them. We research them. What's actually out there? Isn't that kind of creepy to think about? That was really kind of the whole point of the talk. Isn't that creepy when you think about it, Chris? And remember, they're always trying to thread the needle. Because they have viruses that are super deadly. If it's too deadly, people die too fast and they can't spread it to enough people. So you want a deadly, just the right kind of deadly. Like an evil Goldilocks, if you will. Anyway, let's get to some emails. Next.
Fighting for your freedom every day.
USA! USA!
The Jesse
USA!
Kelly Show.
It is the Jesse Kelly Show, and yes, we'll dig into being multi-planet people and Mike Pence getting awards and the Taliban's handing out goodies with of our stuff. All that and more still to come on the world-famous Jesse Kelly Show. Let's do some emails first, shall we? We got to clear out some room because Friday cometh. This guy, the subject of this one, oh, this lady said Hungarian cheese bread. She said the Hungarian cheese bread is called Langos. She says it loosely translates to Lindsey Graham. No, that doesn't stop. It loosely translates to flamer, is what she said. In the old days, the leftover bread dough was rolled flat and baked in the oven with garlic, butter, and cheese. Ooh, sour cream was added to the bread occasionally, which it shouldn't be. Nowadays, the bread is deep fried or pan fried with cheese, butter, and garlic. Oh, my God. Gosh, I'm telling you, Chris, we got to find a Hungarian restaurant. You can eat that. There's nothing not kosher about that at all. I think they were selling, what, Chris? How hard is it to make? Well, I don't know. I'm sure we can make it, but don't we want some Hungarians to make it for us first? I feel like the first should be authentic, and then we'll figure it out from there. Look, they're Hungarian. If they can figure it out, and we can figure it out. What, Chris? I'm serious. If they can figure it out, we can. It's not like there's what? That wasn't insulting. I don't know what you're talking about. Dear Jesse, please tell all the conservative talking heads to shut up. This guy's mad. All they want to do is talk about how the Democrats suck. Well, guess what? Republicans do, too. They can't do beep for us. All they really care about is getting reelected. They should give Trump a big, beautiful bill yesterday. Instead of sitting around wringing their hands and worrying how they might be affected, do the right thing for once. Says he's angry. I won't put it in his terms. Angry and fed up in Tennessee. Well, I can actually feel your anger emanating off the page here. I get that you're mad. But allow me to just caution you with this little bit here. You said, in fact, we're going to make this about Chuck Grassley. You said you want them to do something. Get off your butts and give Trump his big, beautiful bill. Okay. We've talked about this before, about the desire, the cry of do something. Someone do something is one of the most dangerous things you can ever cry out. And historically, the worst disasters, death, misery, famine, the worst disasters oftentimes come after the people have been screaming, somebody do something! And then somebody does something and everything gets screwed up. Remember COVID? We were treated to all kinds of Chinese propaganda, people falling over dead in the streets and stuff like that. Our evil system told us we were all going to die. The American people got afraid. They got scared. And the American people started screaming, do something, do something, someone do something. Ah! Well, they did something. Trillions of dollars later, more loss of life and wealth and happiness that I could possibly list. I'm not even bringing up the vaccine injuries. All that was the result of people screaming, somebody do something. You are angry at the Republicans in D.C. I am so. I am as well. But part of your anger is, why don't they get Trump his big, beautiful bill? There's no big, beautiful bill. It doesn't exist. It can't possibly exist. That's how Trump has branded the bill, but that's what Trump's doing. He's branding. He's trying to sell it to the American people as the big, beautiful bill. The United States Congress is too evil and corrupt to produce a big bill that is good. It's not humanly possible. I get your frustration with Republicans. Totally warranted. 100% warranted. You're correct. But right now, you know what they're arguing over? Who gets what? In this big, corrupt, evil piece of crap bill. That's what they're arguing over. The Senate wants more money for this, and the House wants more money for that. You know what's not even being discussed right now? It's not even being discussed. A spending cut. It's not even on the table. The only thing they're even arguing over is how much of a spending increase we're going to do. Well, we're gonna decrease the amount of the increase, so in a way, that's a spending cut. There's no actual spending cuts, none. It's not even on the table. But the problem is the American people don't realize this. They don't digest it. And so they'll scream out, do something, pass it. Why? I don't want them to pass it. Do you want an increase in Medicaid spending? You knew that was part of the big, beautiful bill too, right? This bill is horrible. It's not just bad, it's horrible. I get why they're all doing it, though. It does take a lot of Trump agenda items, and it codifies them into law, things like tax cuts. Last I heard, the latest bill made the tax cuts permanent. And so it's not like there's no good things in it, but it's going to be 1,000 pages with 2 pages of good things and 998 pages of more fraud and theft of your money than you can possibly imagine. It's not beautiful because the United States Congress, as it's currently constituted, is not capable of creating a big, beautiful bill. All these scumbags, cowards, and liars are capable of creating is something horrific. And it will be horrific. It will be. And, well, we kind of have ourselves to blame for that. In a lot of ways, we have ourselves to blame. Let's do some more emails. Hey, Jesse, I've been in the education system for 25 years as a K-12 teacher and college professor. I resigned my tenured position a year ago after finally realizing the rot was too deep to repair. On Friday, you described our education system as an indoctrination factory. Spot on. I was with a small Jesuit university in Denver, Colorado. My department chair once yelled down a hallway filled with students, quote, we can't hire any more white people. A colleague and I complained to human resources. Of course, nothing was done to her. The rot is much more pervasive than people realize. Sadly, I no longer recommend college for most young people. His name is Charles. This is why Hillsdale College is the place everybody wants to get into. This is why. And most of us won't. I certainly never will. Neither will my sons. But we can all learn from Hillsdale. You don't have to step on campus. Hillsdale is offering more than 40 online courses for free. There's no cost. When you go to hillsdale.edu/Jesse, you, your child, can get a real education at no cost. From the university we all want to send them to. hillsdale.edu/Jesse. We'll be back.
This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.